Welcome to Creators Revival. I am your host, Kendall Mason, and welcome to the next episode of the show. Glad to have you back. Glad to have you as a listener. And in this episode, we're actually going to talk about the influence of color in marketing. There are a lot of things that we are influenced by on a daily basis. We're constantly being influenced, constantly being bombarded subconsciously by messages from all different brands. But did you know that the color of that brand and their marketing message actually has a subliminal effect on our conscious? It completely talks to us in a subconscious way, and we react to that in a manner that makes us or helps influence us to make the purchasing decisions, whether it be for food or for fashion or hygiene, that the company wants us to do. So this week, in this episode, we're going to talk about exactly how do these colors affect us and how do you use them in your branding when you are building your brand identity or doing marketing for your business. So let's go ahead and get started. So when you're out shopping, when you are at Walmart or Target or Kroger, then there's a lot of things that's constantly being used. From the position of the actual products to the placement of it on the shelves, to how they have things color-coded and arranged to get the attention of the right person. So they will liberally put things on certain shelves at certain heights, knowing that you're likely to see them. Even during a checkout, there will be things that are there to increase impulse buys, whether it be the magazine that's trending or candy that's easy to grab to get that sweet tooth salivating. They're constantly going to be choosing things and constantly going to be using things for us to make decisions, and rightfully so. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down what is it that they're using and how can you use it. So even with all the options that we have, from the way that they're arranging everything, the colors and the placement, it definitely has a pretty subtle effect. Even when they're using new products, it's very important to choose. It's almost critical to make sure you choose the right color. You're not going to choose it from an arbitrary standpoint. We're going to choose it based on either the values of your brand or the results and the effect that you want to elicit from your buyers. And you can use the same strategies and the same tactics as these bigger brands. You don't have to be an expert artist or an expert in marketing and psychology to understand how to use color. It's just as simply as getting the facts and then applying it, testing it, getting feedback or getting data, and then making adjustments until you get closer or incremental improvements in the results that you actually want. When you actually use the right type of color, it can actually increase the recognition of your brand or your business by as much as 80%. And it also can increase the visual aesthetic, the likability, by 93%. And there was also a further study saying that customers will actually choose, they will deliberately choose a product based on color. And this is what 85% of the customers said, that they will make a purchasing decision of a product solely on the color. So knowing what your market, or what your ideal customer, what colors they favor is going to be critical in growing and making sure that you leave a lasting or at least a first initial impression to get you in the door. And then, of course, the quality of your product following that will speak afterward. Even once the customer has begun actually moving in the direction of the product of their favorite color, they've actually already made the decision. They voted with their feet. They started moving in the direction of the product that they wanted. They already know what they want, and they're just simply bridging the gap to make sure that they're happening. Oh, sorry, Siri, I wasn't talking to you. Good old Apple, always listening. When you incorporate all the senses when you are creating a product, when you use smell, design, texture, and color, what you do is you're creating a superpower when it comes to helping the customer make a purchasing decision. So by adding in all four of those elements, when you use a sense of smell in your store, maybe you sell candles and there's a certain sound, there's a certain smell that you actually want. Sound is also a factor as well that hasn't been considered. So that's another fifth element. But smell, sound, texture, design, and color, they all work together to create a single signature, an ideal for your brand. When you're using the right texture for your product, it lets the customer know that that's something you are considering and making sure that they know what to expect when they see something. They pretty much have an idea. They'll look at something and their eyes will tell them an expectation of what that product is going to feel like. If it's a napkin, it's going to feel like paper. If it's a container made of plastic, it's going to be smooth, but it's going to have a certain firmness and a certain level of flexibility and give to it as well. If they're touching a desktop surface, it might have something similar, but it might have somewhat of a very light or muted sandpaper, but it's not gonna give. It's gonna be very solid in its approach and its texture. But when you wanna get to the cold hard facts of how color actually works, there's not a universal rule for how color works on each individual person, because everybody has a single experience that they're affected by. The way that I see color growing up, or the way that it affects me based on my personal upbringing, or maybe how I felt, it has a completely different connotation compared to the way that somebody else will experience color. So it's not a singular universal trait that people are dealing with. It's something that's really personalized and that's unique to their own individual experience. And that gets projected or influenced by that history, by that experience that they had growing up. And that also plays a fact. That's why people typically have a favorite color, something that they gravitate toward simply because they were influenced by that growing up in either a positive or a negative way, which ends up getting translated into specific feelings. The way that brands and colors are relating to one another is solely depend on the good fit, essentially. Does the color that's being used, is it representative respectfully to what the brand is trying to say? So if your brand is involved in environmental healthcare, we'll say, or environmental friendliness, having the color black isn't exactly going to fit. Something more like green would fit because it's a color appropriateness for that message that's trying to be sent. If you're trying to influence something like learning and education, the color yellow often comes up, being represented in things like school buses and learning environments. So every color does have an appropriation that needs to be used and often respected and represented, and it is something that customers will expect. So if it doesn't seem to be a good fit, they're going to wonder, well, is this exactly the color that should be represented? It may not be a conscious decision, but definitely something that will come across their mind based on the history of what they're used to experiencing when they see something of a product or a specific brand that's being presented to them. The color brought to question is often asked, does this fit the personality of the brand? Does this fit the character or the archetype that the brand is presenting itself to be? These are things that are often questioned. These are things that are often brought to the table. And if it's a good fit, if the color is actually representative of the characteristics, then yeah, the color or the brand will be taken much more seriously, or the product or the brand will be taken much more seriously in comparison to any other relative brands or competing products in that same sector. Considering that our brains do prefer things that are familiar, things that are recognizable, and that makes it that much easier for us to make a decision. We want, essentially, things that we're comfortable with and things that seem somewhat familiar. Even if it's new and it has a layer of familiarity to it, this is something that color can be used to create that sense of warmth or excitement or curiosity, and something that we should be leveraging in every decision that we make. Even while we're out shopping for certain products or buying new furniture, we are going to make sure that the color that we're choosing for that is suitable to us, is relatable to us, and has the exact feeling that we want to portray to others, especially if it's something like furniture that you're buying to put into a space and other people are going to be there as well. This is why there are consultants for certain colors that you're using, to make sure that you're selecting something that's going to be best representative and going to be as comfortable or as energetic as you would like that space to be. So if it's like an office space, for example, the color white is often used simply because it's purely neutral, or versus a color like brown or beige might be something that we might be seeing in a consultant or in a counselor's space for the simple fact that it actually invokes somewhat of a relaxed feeling to what's being portrayed inside of that room that you want to invoke. Of course, you don't want people excited during a counseling session, ideally, depending on the type of counseling that you're giving, but ideally, you want to make sure that they're relaxed, that they're comfortable in sharing and working through certain processes. When it comes to differentiating yourself from the other brands in competition, let's say that your competition is actually using a purple color. Well, then you'd want to use something like blue. Making sure that your color that you're choosing actually stands out from the competition in some significant way. Or if your competition is using green, you could always switch to something like black and being completely neutral in the color choice and making the palette as simple as possible. Definitely analyzing even tints, tones, and shades of different color can also help to curb, I will say, to help to kind of curb the actual message that your brand or the intensity that the color would originally bring to your audience. So you don't always have to use a solid color. You can actually pivot and simply add a tint of white or a tint of black or shades of gray or tones of white as well into the color palette of the main color messaging that you are intending. Even using a combination of colors will help. Ideally, you don't want to use any more than two. So either you have a primary and a secondary color, but you don't want to go from, you don't want to have a tertiary color. So you don't want to have three different colors when it comes to tertiary, but you do want to have things that are complementary. Or you can even having something called an analogous color scheme. That means that's where you're actually having that one color and you're actually choosing either a tint, tone, or shade based on that same gamut. So you can still play around with that and find something that's going to be suitable for the message that you're trying to give off without being too either overbearing or too bland or subdued when it comes to selecting a color for whatever product that you are promoting. You don't have to fall in line with the exact color templates that's already been used or color systems that have already been established. It's way more imperative and way more important to figure out what the brand personality is and then find the color that will adapt to that versus simply selecting a color and then trying to reverse engineer it based on what you prefer or what you actually like, because there's going to be other variables that are going to come into place when selecting the brand voice, the brand personality, the brand archetypes, and even the attributes. So the color is an important element, but it's not the only one. So you want to make sure that you get the values of the brand or the product down first, and then you find a color to match it, because everything is going to be portrayed through those values within the products, within the assets, within the service. All of that is going to be like the overarching factor. And when the customer actually sees the color of your brand, that's when they'll recall that experience. That's why it's much more important to focus on building the identity first. Even when you are creating a logo or you're having a logo created, it's important to know what are the attributes of the product, or what are the attributes or characteristics of the brand that we're trying to get across first. And then from that point, you can select color, you can select elements, you can select icons or graphic symbolisms that will be relevant. Then you can select the typography. That's the best way to play it. And now that's one man's point of view, but from what I've been experiencing with the clients that I've worked with, it always works best. Even when there's a prospect that needs a new logo, I'll ask them, okay, so what was the message that you were trying to get across in this logo? What were some of the attributes of your brand that you're trying to get across? Do you think that the logo or the messaging on the attributes effectively reflect what you were going for when you were initially making this decision? And then from that point, I can understand a little bit more of what they were really trying to go for to make sure that the mark is going to be hit. Or maybe it does portray that and nothing really needs to be changed, or maybe subtle things to be changed, or maybe things might need to be reframed a little bit in the actual messaging and not necessarily the logo or the color itself. So that's just something to take into consideration next time that you do work with a logo designer or a graphic designer, to make sure that you're asking the right questions that will help you make the right decision when it does come to your brand mark and your brand messaging. Genders actually have a color preferences as well. Men and women actually perceive colors differently. Women actually see a much broader spectrum and have much more names for colors because they can see the tints, tones, and shades much more than men can, where men are much more very concrete and very simplistic when it actually comes to naming colors. But did you know that men and women actually have color perceptions that it's different when it comes to these shades? And women actually prefer softer colors, where men prefer actually bolder colors. In addition, men are actually more likely to select shades of colors as their favorite, typically when you ended up adding in black, whereas women actually prefer tints of colors with white added in. So it's not necessarily just black and white. No pun intended, but pun intended. Yeah, that's how we are actually selecting colors. That's just what we prefer. That's our nature. And that's how we're actually wired subconsciously. I mean, given with the actual stark contrast that are shown, I mean, when it comes to actually selecting color, it pays to appeal to more men or women if they make up a percentage of your ideal buyer. So you want to make sure that you're actually catering to the audience that you're trying to reach, and making sure that you're actually choosing the colors based on the effect that you want, and not necessarily selecting the color first just because it's your favorite, as I had actually mentioned earlier. There's an interesting psychological effect known as the isolation effect. And that isolation effect means that it's essentially having enough contrast and standing out beyond the competition will actually allow it to be recognizable. So if you have a certain set of colors or a certain pattern and you break that pattern using an ideal color or using a brighter or contrasting color, it'll stand out much more effectively. A lot of this is used actually in user experience design when you have maybe, let's say your color for your headers is all black, the copy is all black, but then you have a red button that says download free PDF or download free guide or signed up for free consulting. Of course, that color is going to stand out tremendously simply because you've broken the pattern of all the other colors that you've had before it. The same effect works when you have a certain selection of products to choose from and you have one that's a contrasting color, then of course that's going to stand out even more. And that will actually help you differentiate and essentially get the attention, which is what you're really going for, getting the actual attention of that customer so they actually buy your product or at least try it so they can get hands-on experience of what it's actually like. So the psychological effect, the having that contrast stand out, and making sure that you're using the isolation effect to make it sure that it stands out in a way so that it is remembered among the many different choices that consumers have. Use backgrounds, space accidents, and colors to create an actual hierarchy. You want to establish a certain rhythm when it comes and consistency when it comes to using colors. If you're using something inside of your copy, or if it's a blog page or a website, making sure that you're using the same colors consistently across the board and making sure you have something either using like a style tile or a brand standards to make sure that you're following that guideline, the brand guidelines, and making sure that you follow that, because those typically have ways to create consistency among your brand and familiarity. And the more that your customers become exposed to it, the more that they're able to recognize it, they come subconsciously understand the pattern, and they know exactly what you want them to do. So when they click a certain button, it goes to a certain page or it has a certain effect. Maybe it's an accordion menu and they see that more than once. So like they'll recognize, okay, this is an accordion, and it doesn't really matter how many times you do it or where you place it, they'll know how it's expected to respond from a functionality standpoint, and they know how to find and navigate and actually use the tools and resources that you provided for them on that medium. The isolation effect should always be kept in mind when using things in your user experience to make sure that people are trained and they're conditioned to use the product and it's in predictable ways. So you want to make sure that they know how to get to important areas of your site's content by using this principle and making sure that it remains consistent in all the decisions making before you even, or while you're actually even building out the UX and the UI components of these sites, the user interface. So UI is the user experience, or UX is user experience, and UI is the user interface. So you want to make sure that you're actually using that in a consistent manner and that you are taking that into consideration when you are building out applications and products for your customers to consume and to use. And by having that consistency, you additionally are, you're essentially conditioning them, your users, to use your products in a certain way, and they know exactly what to expect, as mentioned earlier. When it comes to naming names of colors, using a color thesaurus will actually help. You want to make sure that the names that you're actually using aren't exactly standard colors like white or tan or yellow or orange. These colors actually have specific names based on the specific tone or tint or shade that they're actually using. For example, white has names such as cream, salt, daisy, cotton, snow, or porcelain. These are different from using the standard name of like white. For example, it's just much easier to deal with. It's much easier to have these specific names, and it makes it much more interesting too, rather than having standardized names. And it really helps your brand stand out and have unique personality and characteristics simply because it's actually using specific detailed names of these actual colors rather than just doing like broad strokes and making them kind of like bland compared to everything else. So you want to make them somewhat fancy, are actually preferred by customers when they're actually choosing names. So by having something that's fancy, by having something that's out of the box, so to speak, then you can have a color brand and have a personality that's much more likable, that's much more shareable, and that's much more interesting to the culture just as a whole. It turns out that the same thing actually works when you're actually naming products. Customers actually preferred colors that had a unique name for the actual product itself, rather than just something standard. And using things like paint colors is much more pleasing to the eye and much more pleasing to the psychology. Of course, this is all brand perception that's being used, but the perception of it that you're giving, the characteristic that you're giving, is just much more valuable to the consumer. So you can go online and you can pull up, you can Google the word, what are we looking for here? The color thesaurus. You can use Pinterest or something like that, or just Google it. And you can find the specific names that you're actually trying to use, the hexadecimal code, the Pantone code, and any standard CMYK print four color process codes that you're going to be using to give these things that you're using in your product a certain level of density and real personality to really stand out from everything that's going to be mundane in the marketplace. Using unique and obscure names can actually increase the buyer's intent. It can make people want to buy more of your product, or at least have the intention to buy the product, if it has an obscure name. The same thing goes for jelly beans. It goes for paint colors. So if you're choosing like a paint color, you can have something like Juneberry or Aster or Mizzle or Acer or Marigold or Sir Drake. Having these unique colors will help customers make a purchase decision even easier. It can be done for all kinds of products, whether it be beer or colors of wine or soda. Even soda pop names can have a unique name and culture to them to make sure that it's fun, that it's delightful, and that's directly in response to the brand that you're trying to portray. Even with food, giving them unique names and not such things as taco or chicken, but you can have some fun, play with it, experiment, come up with different names, maybe something that's actually relative to the name of your actual brand, or at least the context of your actual brand, and that will help create a unification and a way to associate and identify and give your customers a sense of uniqueness and inclusion or exclusion from the outside world, so they can have a way of feeling unique, important, and valuable compared to the mediocre things that are showing up in other areas or other parts of their lives, definitely bringing a solid sense of excitement and adventure. But as crazy as it sounds, it actually works. By choosing something that's descriptive, that's memorable, that's fun, that's clever, that's creative, that's catchy, even if it's not a real name or the real color of it, you can still make it unique. And that will help to make it memorable. That will definitely help to make you stand out, being unlike anything else that you've ever seen or that they've ever seen in the market. And it will dramatically help with the purchasing power, at least influence them to buying something and sharing the name of it or sharing the product, especially if it tastes good or especially if it performs well, and just helping them to make that decision. So try it. Do your customers a favor and create something that stands out. Be unique, be authentic, be outrageous. Just be creative, have fun with the actual process, and choosing actual color names will help. Like I said, it will help them make the decision, and it'll help bring them even closer to your brand with that sense of authenticity and uniqueness that they so want to really be a part of in their culture. Welcome to Creators Revival. I am your host, Kendall Mason, and welcome to the next episode of the show. Glad to have you back. Glad to have you as a listener. And in this episode, we're actually going to talk about the influence of color in marketing. There are a lot of things that we are influenced by on a daily basis. We are constantly being influenced, constantly being bombarded subconsciously by messages from all different brands. But did you know that the color of that brand and their marketing message actually has a subliminal effect on our conscious. It completely talks to us in a subconscious way, and we react to that in a manner that makes us or helps influence us to make the purchasing decisions, whether it be for food or for fashion or hygiene, that the company wants us to do. So this week, in this episode, we're going to talk about exactly how do these colors affect us and how do you use them in your branding when you are building your brand identity or doing marketing for your business. So let's go ahead and get started. So the first color up is red. Red typically evokes emotions. It increases the appetite, and it typically has a symbolization of passion and love, and the intensity of red also evokes emotions and pulls these emotions out of people. So a lot of companies that use red are companies such as Exxon, CNN, Coca-Cola, Virgin, Kellogg's, and Nintendo, just to name a few. And red has a very strong connotation with it. I mean, red is often symbolized as a color of love and of emotion and of passion. And so, like red lipstick, for example, that red lipstick, especially when it comes to attracting the opposite sex that women typically use, it has that look of a ripe fruit, as if it's something that the lips are filled with blood. Typically, when there's passion involved and when there's a sincere desire of attraction, the lips are giving the illusion of being filled with blood. And that's something that attracts the male brain and attracts that male species and that instinct. So red is often a color that's used because it's so powerful. Just the color red in general has a very, very powerful emotion, and it elicits powerful emotion in people. So that is a color that's often most used among brands, and it's very powerful. It's very striking. It's a very warm color as well. So that's another reason why that color gets used so often. Next, we have yellow, and this color, it does stimulate mental processes. It represents optimism, youthfulness, and clarity. And it shows off the color to infants. And the color is actually used a lot by baby products. Yellow is a color that's often used, making it positive and optimistic and very energetic. And companies that actually end up using and preferring yellow are companies such as Subway, Best Buy, and of course, McDonald's. You can see those golden arches even from the highway, and that's just how powerful the color yellow is when it's being used within an actual brand. And it's something that just stands out. It's shiny. It's like a beacon, if you will, and it definitely is used to actually grab the attention of window shoppers. So if you have people that like to pass by your shop or you want to get their attention, you can use yellow, and yellow will often stand out and having that clarity and having that youthfulness, or if you're using it for learning and education, yellow often has the connotation of learning, of growth, such as buses you would see. And even number two pencils have a yellowish orange tint to them. But yeah, that color yellow is very striking and very powerful to be used. Next, we have blue. Now, this color is usually associated with water. It's actually the most preferred color by men. And people are often 15% more likely to retain in your shop if it's painted blue. So if you use blue paint inside of your shop, people have a 15% chance 15% chance to actually be and staying in your store a lot longer. Other brands that use blue more often are going to be Walmart, Oreo, HP, Bank of America, Ford, Dell, even Lowe's, and companies such as Twitter. And it can, blue often is a color that creates a sense of security and trust within brands. So colors that do use blue, it seems calm and peaceful, and it's often used in banking a lot. If you end up using a lighter tone of blue, a lighter shade of blue or tint, then you can be relaxing. While dark blue can signify strength and actually reliability. So as mentioned earlier, actually shifting the color that you're using, the tint tone and shade, you can actually evoke different connotations that are actually being used within the brand altogether. Next, we have orange. In marketing, it can actually, orange can signify creativity, or it can influence impulse buyers. I'm not exactly sure why that would influence them, but it is a color that actually has been tested, and it's been used to influence these impulse buys within customers. But it's also viewed as being cheerful and confident, and it can also be used as a very, very powerful call to action to buy a product. And it's also usually assumed to be like fun and vitality. And lighter shades of orange will actually appeal to an upscale market. Some colors that actually use orange are Nickelodeon, Amazon, Starz, Harley Davidson, and Firefox uses orange. They use that flaming orange that actually circles around the globe. So those are some notable brands that are actually using orange within their color scheme and make things very exciting and very intoxicating to be used within the brand. The next color we have available would be green. Green is often associated with wealth and money, used a lot with wealth and money, but it also has a symbol of being eco-friendly, typically associated with leaves. So if you want your company to appear and to have the feeling and connotation of being a green thumb company, using green, in comparison with yellow, that's often used as well. But green is going to be the dominant color when it comes to having that green thumb and the environmental friendly feel, but it's also associated with wealth and money. And it's also used in stores to create an actual relaxed feeling, making people feel comfortable, relaxed, calm. It has a very natural, nurturing nature type of emotion evoked within it. And actually, it turns out that in the 15th century, green was actually the preferred color of wedding gowns. Wedding gowns were constantly used within the 15th century, giving a sense of associated prestige, especially with those deeper, darker greens. Brands that actually use greens are John Deere, Whole Foods, Monster Energy Drink, BP, Starbucks, Tropicana, Android operating systems. And so those are just a few, just to name, that actually use green simply because they have a sense of balance and harmony and health and growth and even freshness. Like when you imagine a fresh fruit or something that's growing, it has a tendency to be green and very earthy and having those earth tones. And so just off the bat, immediately you think of green as being one of those colors. Next, we have purple. Purple, you want to keep it in mind that if you have too much purple, you don't want to overdo it with this color, even though the color is, it's considered creative and wise and imaginative. If you use it too much, it can invite a little bit of distraction and often introspection and causing your audience to look inward with the color too much. But if you use it in a combination with blue at just the right tone, then you can have energy and power. And making it, using it with red, it's the most common color used by luxury brand items. If used just the right way, then that purple can definitely give off a royalty type feel to it. And even lavender will invoke like a nostalgia and sentimentality in it. But some of the brands that actually use this are T-Mobile, Sci-Fi, Yahoo, Taco Bell, Barbie, and companies like Monster and Hallmark. They use that purple within their brand, and it does have so much of a really strong feel. Not, it's not overbearing like red. Red is in your face, but purple has somewhat of a subtle strength to it, and it's not too overpowering. It's not too overbearing. And it's just something that it's a color that's used, and it has that stability to it in such a way. And next, we actually have black. Now, typically black, the colors like black and white, they're not actually colors. These are what is considered an achromatic color. And they are actually have a lightness, but no hue or saturation. Like white, gray, and black are all achromatic colors. And because of that, they're able to be added to create a variance within the primary colors that are being used. So that's why we are calling these achromatic tints and tones, or even shades that are being used. But we're going to go ahead and start off with the color black. Black is typically bold, it's powerful, it's classic. It has a much more of an elegant and extremely luxury feel to it. And it has a confidence and a bit of a sophistication to it that's unlike any of the other colors. And it's mystery about it as well. So if you think of someone like heroes like Batman, you know, dressed in all black, or someone like Neo from The Matrix who wears a lot of black, it has a super heroic and mysterious feel to it. And it's used to sell sleek items and brands who like to be reserved in their intentions. And it's prominently, and it's an internationally recognized colors, but it's best to create a sterile and institutionalized feeling within your brick and mortar. And it's usually used especially with upscale lipstick and brushes. So those are that's the primary use of the actual color black. And brands that actually use black are Prada, Dolce & Gabbana, Chanel, Blackberry, just to name a few. And it's just always been a powerful color. It's always been something that's been associated with elegance, quality, and high class. And last but not least, we have white. And white is a color that denotes cleanliness and purity. It's a color of clarity and freshness, and used to spark creativity. If you imagine like a blank canvas, it also has a feeling of being at the beginning. If you imagine like in martial arts, it starts off with a white belt, and then it usually ends up with a black belt. But the white belt is like innocence. It's like something that's pure, that's innocent, that's clean, that's fresh, but it's very youthful and very, very young. And it's often used within office blocks, and used to create contrast. So having a lot of white space, even within like design and creative compositions, is something that's often used, and having things reversed out. It's often said that when you're looking at shapes, it's not necessarily the negative of the black, but it's the contrasting around these shapes and around these elements. It's the white around the black that helps it to stand out, that gives it its form, that gives it its shape. So that is what we have for the psychology of color. Is there something that you've learned? Is there anything that you found useful? Is there something that has stuck out to you that helped you consider a little bit more about what you're used to using when you're dealing with color and contrast and trying to find ways to use it within your branding and within your messaging and marketing campaigns, let me know. Leave a comment or subscribe to the show. And thank you for listening. And once again, you can find more information and more podcast episodes right here. And if you like this, please share it with your family and your friends and your coworkers. Till next time, the light at the end of the tunnel may be you.